tongues,
yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
So, we want to close down on a few things that we will later pick up again in the next session.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to borrow this time.
Yeah, take on a few things.
So, Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 1.
You know, something that we began to look at in the past few weeks and months is how the writers of the synoptics will write.
Remember, I told us that they will write like Jesus. Right? They will write or they will teach just like Jesus. So you see the way they teach and how they write just like Jesus. Because they will be called, they are called disciples. Disciples. So as disciples, they will teach like Jesus. So we said, you will get to Matthew 1.
Matthew 1. So just like Jesus, what we've been able to see and what we are still looking at is how they wrote.
Hallelujah. So we said the writer of the synoptics didn't write about the stories of Jesus. They're writing the incarnation story. What people have as of what is Jesus story.
They were not just writing a story, main story of Jesus, like we said. Hallelujah.
They wrote it in such a way that you would have to go back again and reread where they were reading from, which is actually the 39 books.
Hallelujah.
Which would be the 39 books. You have to go back again and read from there. And they want you to read the events of Jesus in the incarnation and the 39 books as one piece. Today we can say the event of the incarnation, the epistles, and the 39 books should be read as one piece.
Hallelujah.
Are you finding it in how they wrote?
Matthew will open up in Matthew 1:1. He calls it the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Did you see that?
He calls it the book of the generations. Genesis. We have the word Genesis. Hallelujah. He wants you to reread the humanity of Jesus from the 39 books spoken of.
What are the 39 books?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28, he tells you, find him, speak about the divinity. He says, teaching them. Matthew 28:20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. The divinity of Jesus. And when you use the word I am with you there, we say that is the Exodus, that is an Exodus language for God. Right? For God. Making you see that he is God as a man. Did you see that? Jesus is God as a man. And you have to read that within the 39 books. Hallelujah. Genesis down to Malachi. What we call the Old Testament books.
Mark, like we said, did the same thing. Mark will use another shade of word for Genesis, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
He calls the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says he will read it from the Genesis, beginning, okay. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
He goes into verse 2 and says, as it is written. Watch that. It is written in the prophets. So what has he done now? Yeah, he's doing a shunyami. He's doing a shunyami. How? He's going back to Malachi. Did you see that? For you to see, it was spoken about Malachi then to Isaiah. Hallelujah. Making you see that the event of the four gospels, of the incarnation, the synoptics, is scripture fulfilled. Did you see that? You find the fulfillment of scriptures within the four gospels.
Hope you're following me.
Hallelujah. In chapter 16, verses 20, it says, and the Lord walking with them. Exodus language for God, with the children of Israel. The Lord walking with them. With who? With the disciples, with the believers in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. In the preaching of the gospel. You find it there. So his humanity and his divinity should be read from scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah. John. Like we said, John, unlike the other synoptic writers, didn't actually focus on the birth of Jesus.
He opens up with his divinity. He calls him God. Hallelujah. John 1:1.
The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. And the Word is God. So he calls the Word Jesus. He calls that Word Dabba. Dabba. That's the word Dabba. Logos, as we have in the Greek. Logos Dabba. He says he is God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. He's God. He's God. So he said, and that Word became flesh. Watch that. When he said became flesh there, he's not saying the words, everything now began to form flesh. As Moses is speaking in his head, no. Hallelujah. What it means is that you find the fulfillment. That's what it means. Because where do you find the word? When you use the word begin, will be Genesis. Hallelujah. So that means you find the fulfillment of their words in the incarnation. The word which is God's word, spoken of by the prophet, will find its fulfillment in the incarnation. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So God became a man, that's what they're saying. Because what we're talking about is God. So the word is God. So God became a man. So John says, you'll find that in the 39 books. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And in chapter 20, verse 23, he said, he pressed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. 22. So whosoever sins, ye forgive, are forgiven them. The tax of God will now be carried out by his men in all the earth. God's tax. Did you see that? God's tax of forgiving sins. Man will not carry. And this is so when a man gets saved, you can declare to that man his sins are forgiven him. Why? Because you are standing in the stead of God, or God carrying out his tax through you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Luke does the same thing. It says, many are said, look at verse 2, as they delivered it to us. So Luke gives you that disclaimer. I wasn't there. Just like Mark wasn't there. But Luke gives that disclaimer, he wasn't there. But he said he received them from whom? Eyewitness. Eyewitness, those who were there, and he called the eyewitness. Now you don't start saying, oh, I was there when Jesus was passing by Ugolokho. I saw him. No. He didn't get the eyewitness account from anybody, any passerby on the road. He got the eyewitness from those who are ministers of the gospel. He called them ministers of the gospel from the beginning, or who were from the beginning ministers of the word. Amen. So they are from the beginning. From the beginning there will be that archaic from the Genesis. So where did he get it from? Men who were eyewitness and ministers from Genesis. Did you see that? So that means how he wrote these accounts will be how he had them teaching from scriptures. Did you see that? So he's writing out his teaching notes. Hope you're following me. It will be his teaching notes, or his meeting notes. Amen. That's better. He's writing out his meeting notes. He has heard them. That is, I was a student of them, or I am a student of them. I heard them how they taught it from the Genesis, and I'm presenting it that way. Did you see that? And he's writing to who? He's writing to a Gentile audience, and he used the same scriptures. Did you see that?
Yes,
so that actually beats the fact that when they say, no, Christianity is an Israeli, is a Jewish religion. No. Amen. We're going to get to that also. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to get to see something around that, not to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in chapter 24, verses 44, or verse 45, we saw what he did to them. He opened their understanding, they might understand the gospel. Hallelujah. And then you'll find them in God's tax in all the earth, that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name amongst all nations, and you are witnesses of this. Glory to God. So that means in the new creation, God's task is now carried out by who? Men. God's task. Or God carries out his task through his men, through the new creation men. That's why Paul will call them ambassadors. Ambassadors, God's ambassadors. Do you not? Because they are carrying out the tasks of God in the earth. Glory to God. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, who said? A major hazard is reading the Bible with a what? That with a okay. With a diaphragm. I don't know why it's hard for me to pronounce this today. Okay, reading the Bible from two divides, as two divides, Old Testament and New Testament.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can't read in the Bible from two divides. There is a major hazard. You have Old Testament books and New Testament. I remember getting born again and I was advised not to read the Old Testament book. That's the advice I got from someone. Don't read the Old Testament book. You want to understand God? Don't read the Old Testament book. I was told to only read the four Gospels and the book of Acts. That's how I know God. and then you now begin to look at small on the epistles. But don't go to the Old Testament at all. Why? I don't know. But you know, you should read everything. Hallelujah. Because what the first convert read was the same Old Testament books. That's what they read. In fact, that was what they read to get saved. You heard four Gospels to get saved. All they heard was the Old Testament books and they got saved. So why wouldn't you read? Why wouldn't you read? You have to read everything. Because that is how God is understood. Hallelujah.
How do you understand when you are saying
what about some of those things that you say the Hebrew language does not have this thing. How would they get to understand all the sit in the seat of the first colonists and understand their word? Now you are saying that they should go and read the Old Testament, they should start it from where? How would they understand God? When they say that God is the one that killed people, no, don't worry yourself. You are worried about nothing. Amen. The same thing you read is what several people write. Don't worry, they will do good.
Amen. Then you have to read it.
Because what they read into the New Testament, they will take them back again to see what they've read. And they will everything will balance. Hallelujah. Everything will soft. Amen. It will not be hard. So they should just keep reading. Hope you're following me. Just keep reading.
You want to
go? Hallelujah.
Okay, let's do something.
Okay, what's that? What was that? Just a brief intro of what we've been looking at. We also said that words, that writers of the New Testament employed a technique, right, in writing. And we said the technique they employed was the use of shorthand. They use shorthand. And the longhand to that shorthand is the Old Testament book. Did you see that? The longhand of that shorthand is the first nine books. So that means if you want to understand their shorthand, you have to go back to the 39 books. I guess that's better. Hallelujah. So if you want to understand their shorthand, go back to the 39 books. You understand their shorthand. Amen. So the 39 books becomes very vital. Hallelujah. So the shorthand is that you go back and reread. Now, when you go back to reread, so many times, like we said, when you see those shorthands in the 39 books, it carries with it narrative that must be well studied. Amen. That should be well studied. Hallelujah. I also said that many times those narratives that you will carry, you will find it in types and shadows within Exodus and the prophets. Amen. You see, find the types and shadows around. But like we said, that will be how they will write to in their world. The 39 book. Psalm 78. You're right in dark things. Proverbs. Reviews. Right? Right? Therefore, we said a good Bible student will have to sit in the seat of the first audience.
Now, those of you who are around for revelation of God, I told you have to sit in the seat of two audiences, right? Right? The audience of the New Testament and then the audience of the Old Testament. So, the audience of the New Testament have to sit in their seats to hear what they heard. So, when they use those shorthands, right, you have to know where they were reading from, right? So you understand what you were reading from, just like the way the writers, listen, the writers of the New Testament books, their audience, they had their audience, but they took their audience from that audience to the audience of the Old Testament books, so that they can understand where they were reading from. Hope you understand that. So we today, we are supposed to sit in two seats. How? We sit in the seat of the first audience in the New Testament books, and then also sit in the seat of the first audience in the 39 books. Hallelujah. Because the origin of words within the 26 books, which is called the New Testament books, will be found in the 39 books. That's where you find the origin of words. Hope you're following me. So you have to sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, in hearing what they heard, you have to subject themselves to how words are used in their world. Their mode of communication. Hallelujah. Their mode of communication. The 39 books, the word of the 39 books is not far from the New Testament, right? It's not far. And the Greek is closer to us than the Hebrew. So you understand? So just put it like that in that perspective. So you have to see how words are used. Their mode of communication. Hallelujah. So last time, remember I told you that Moses will use location to teach theology. Today you cannot use location to talk about a thing. Amen. Location then carries meaning. Meaning. Location. I'm trying at my best not to use a plant. I'm not going to plant. Amen. But location carries reasons. So today, guys, what is the implication of Mafuluku? Just Mafogram. Nothing. Amen. Amen. Because in our world today, we've left that kind of, let me put it this way, the world has evolved beyond that, trying to use religion to teach things, right? Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, but in their world, you can use location to teach, to talk about things. Hallelujah. To talk about things. So he says, location was used to teach theology in their world. Also, too, we said, Moses will employ feasts to teach of what God, would use feasts to talk about God's oracles. And take note, the feast is not the oracles, but it points to it. It points to it. We'll get there shortly. It points to it. It's not the oracle. So we hear Pentecost. And you think Pentecost is the oracle of God? No, it's just a pointer to what God will do, which God has done. Do you see that? Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, now when you talk about shorthand, I just wanted to put this for you to see. When you talk about shorthand, those who wrote in shorthand, like we said, the New Testament writers use shorthand to reference, right?
Yes.
The Old Testament books. Now, it is not just the New Testament writers. Even within the Old Testament books, every prophet will reference a previous prophet before him, and he will use shorthand. Okay, follow me.
Yes, sir.
They will also use shorthand to reference another prophet before them. And also Moses, they will use shorthand to reference Moses. So when Isaiah said he will speak to them with, we'll see that next session, he will speak to us with stammering lips. You see that if we use the word stammering lips there, and he's referring to tongues, will be a shorthand. Do you see that?
for events you will read from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses is talking about God's oracle in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1,
look at verses 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. So we said this will be God's plan, right? I would say his plan is in the whole earth, right? Right? Is in the whole earth. Look at Genesis 2:1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, completed, and the host of them.
Is that when it's finished? The whole heaven is now the whole earth is now God's heaven.
What happened? Verse 2, it says, and on the seventh day the Lord ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all the works which he had made.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God entered into his work, which is finished, showing you that one, God's plan is in all the earth. Hallelujah. It's in all the earth. So how would Moses now show God's plan in all the earth to the children of Israel? Now he has told them of God's plan in all the earth. So because they live in a world where the base of their communication, the base of their communication is to figuratively use it, or to figuratively express it. Yeah, I mean, that's the base of their communication. So how will he then communicate heaven in all the earth? Now there are people who are coming from where Egypt, so they understand what is called temple worship. Is that? They understand what is called temple worship. And they know that the tabernacle is a mini temple. They know that. And the tabernacle is a mini temple. So what will he do? Because now, why did he give them a temple in the wilderness? Now, you know, someone asked that question one in a forum like that, and to me I felt it was a funny question. How would you say, why didn't Moses give them a temple? Why did he give them a tabernacle? But that's a simple question to answer. They were going to a land, and it's in the land that they will have the temple. So they were on a journey. So they needed something that was also movable. So he gave them a moving temple. So a tabernacle is a moving temple. Isn't that? Amen? It's a moving temple. So he gave them the tabernacle. The tabernacle was supposed to be moving. A moving temple. So they had a tabernacle. Where was the tabernacle? The tabernacle was to signify heaven. Heaven in their world. It's not just on the skies. We're going to see that too. Amen? Many times, they use the hill. They're talking about the mountain, and they're calling the mountain is called heaven. Do you see that? Hill is referred to as heaven. So, when the psalmist says, I will look up to the hill. We're not talking about mount anything. You're talking about look up to the supernatural. For whence comes my help? Heaven. Just referring to heaven. Okay, follow it. Hallelujah. So heaven is, we say, immaterial world, supernatural. So when he says heaven and earth, he will now put it in a symbol of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, which is the ark, amen, which carries the ark, will be heaven. Watch that. Will be heaven. Heaven. Hallelujah. Heaven. Then what will be the earth? It will be placed on the earth. It will be found amongst men. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the tabernacle is a mini temple, and a mini temple is mini heaven and earth. So it will be symbolized like this within Moses and the prophets. But what is God's plan? Heaven in all the earth. Hallelujah. If you read Exodus 25, let's see something there. Exodus 25. Verses 9. It says, according to all I've shown thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, ye shall make it. You see that? Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Pattern. So he used that word pattern. So that means the tabernacle, what Moses was to build as the ark, right? What he was to build as the ark was going to be a pattern. He used the word a pattern. A pattern. Something that the Greek writer, the writer of Hebrew, in Hebrews 8 verse 5, will call eupodegma. Eupodegma. Something or an event that points to another thing or event. A thing or an event that points to another thing or event. Eupodegma. So he's telling you that what Moses saw on the mount was not a tabernacle that was made. The tabernacle that was made is actually what? Is a pattern of it. Hallelujah. What he saw is heaven and earth. Amen. Okay, follow me. God in all the earth. That was what he saw. So he was going to make a pattern of that. Just like Noah. He was going to have the same pattern of an ark. Very well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So the moment he told them, if you are moving this audience, look up here. And Moses has written, has told you about Noah and the ark. Watch this. And how that there was preservation of life. And how that there was deliverance in the ark. And then he says to you, God wants us to build him. God wants us to build an ark. What should come to your mind? What should come to your mind? The same oracles. Genesis 1:1, heaven and earth, deliverance. Did you see that? Out of the world. God is creating, making his own heaven. Did you see that? In all the earth. Amen. So the moment you forget all the oracles from Genesis 1 into Noah, and you are not looking at the tabernacle as the real thing, then you are missing what he's telling you about. Amen. Remember I told us something. I said, if you read Genesis, you will find out that what Moses wrote in Genesis, you will find it in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Because Genesis is more or less the oracles of God, you will now find in every of those books, both in symbols and in words. You find them all there. Hallelujah. So you have to go back again and read. Read Genesis into Deuteronomy. You will see that interplay. Heaven and earth will now be found also in the tabernacle. Heaven and earth will now be, now when you are now still thinking it's a tabernacle, by Deuteronomy 30 say no. He will tell them, no, do not think, he's telling another generation now, another generation that did witness Exodus. He said, do not say in your heart, who will go again to heaven to bring it. To heaven means, that means we are not going back again to Mount Sinai to go and get this. You hope you're following me. Or who will go over the sea to go back to Egypt? No, we're not doing that. They said the word is mighty. Did you see that? So it's today is the same oracle. What I've been telling you about is mighty in your heart and in your mouth. That he may do it. That he may know and do it. So everything together, you have to read them together. Hope you're following me. Read everything together. How is it? Most of the time when I pick up Genesis and I'm reading, I'm going back to Exodus. When I'm reading Exodus, I'm going back to Genesis. I'm reading Leviticus, I'm going, I've seen this thing somewhere. That's what you say. I've seen it somewhere. Many times, what I do is that I will then pick up my Bible concordance, or pick up a Septuagint. I have a Septuagint that I use, pick up my Septuagint, and I look at the words. Oh, it's the same thing. So I've seen it somewhere in the epistles. I put it all together. Oh, it's the same thing. Wow. But you have to keep reading. You see that there's an interplay. Hallelujah. Of scriptures. Hallelujah. Interplay. Every writer is doing what? He's writing from a previous writer. Even Moses was writing from a previous writer. Though Moses is the first to write. Others that spoke about God spoke about it in oral tradition. So he was going to reference them in his writings. Including Abraham. Abraham too has to Abraham has to reference a teacher. Who is the teacher? Melchizedek. He had to reference him. Hallelujah. Like that you go, you see that, you see that sequence.
Hallelujah. How are you following this?
Glory to God. It's a sequence you have to keep looking at in scriptures.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Therefore, the tabernacle was given to point them to God's oracle. God speaks in all the earth. Heaven and earth. Everywhere. So, the moment you are in that audience of Moses, and you are not, and you see the tabernacle, your mind goes back to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:26. Replenish the earth. The hope you know it links also to Genesis 1:26. Replenish the earth. How? Heaven in all the earth. So that task will be given to man. And if we are God's people, that means we have the same responsibility. You did that? Did you that?
Yes.
So when you see the tabernacle, it talks of worship and it talks of service. Heaven in all the earth. So they must always see that. So as you walk in and you see the tabernacle, you say, oh, you worship of God, right? Where? In all of the earth. So it also brings to you that attitude of responsibility. So Moses also will also do something else to them, as we will see shortly.
Hallelujah.
Who are you following me? So you find that responsibility too. Let's stay there first. You find the responsibility of Genesis 1:27 when you see there. And you know, in Genesis 1:26, he didn't just stop there. You go also to Genesis 2, chapter 5. He said, for man has not filled the ground. Amen. Abad. In chapter 3, he puts man in the garden. Chapter 2, Genesis 2. Verses 15. I just read Genesis 2, 5, Genesis 2, 15 now. And the Lord took man, which he made, and put him in the garden, Garden of Eden, to dress and to keep it. To dress and to keep it. Responsibility. In the garden. You see that? God's sacred place. Right?
Yes, sir.
Is that God's tabernacle?
Yes,
so what is the responsibility of man? To dress and to keep it. To dress it. And to keep it. Responsibility. So that means in God's sacred place is man's responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Hope you're following this. So God's sacred place, is that God's Sabbath? Is that God's day? Right? Is that the Passover? Hope you are seeing it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's God's Passover. God's Passover. God's day. Deliverance. Hallelujah. So, what do you find there? Man's responsibility. You also find there man's worship of God. Because that is what the temple is for. And then you will find responsibility. You must never play down this. So, whenever they walk and they see the tabernacle, it will point to God's sacredness, God's sacred place, where man will worship God and do what? Offer service to God. Watch that. Man will offer service to God. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Hope you're following me. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find, let's say something else. So take note of the two things we said. In the tabernacle, man's worship of God, right? And the worship of God, you find man's responsibility. Then he goes again to Abraham. Abraham. I'm skipping Noah and the others deliberately for a reason. Then he goes to Abraham. In Genesis 18 verse 19, by Genesis 15, he said Abraham believed God. So Abraham believed God, that Abraham be found in God's sacred place. Is that it? Okay? So Abraham's responsibility is to do what? Dress and to keep it. Now let's see what it says about Abraham in Genesis 18. I need you to see this now. Genesis 18. Follow me now. Verses 19.
tongues yesterday, today, and forever. He says, speaking about Abraham, this is God. He says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. Did you see that?
Is that responsibility? Is that above? Is that above? Is that responsibility?
Yes, sir.
Amen? Is that to dress and to keep?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, go further in to chapter 20 verse 17.
Look at what he called Abraham. 20 verse 17. I see. So Abraham prayed to God, and God heard Abimelech, and it's, I missed that. Bible 17, it must be 7. He said, now, therefore, restore this man his wife, for he is a prophet.
Did you see that?
Yes,
did you see that? So, man in God's tabernacle, watch this now, man in God's sacred place is what? Is a prophet. He said, no, sir. Prophet in our world is only that see that and be called. No, no. Man in God's sacred place is called prophet. Watch that and watch it well. Amen. He's called prophet. Why? Because of that responsibility of dressing and keeping. That is teaching. Look at what he calls the dresser to keep also. He calls it in verses 19 of Genesis 18.
Verses 19 of Genesis 18, he said he would teach. So a prophet is a teacher.
So before Moses spoke about being a prophet, being a teacher in Deuteronomy, he has spoken about this way in Genesis. Hope you are saying that. You have to read it into the Deuteronomy. Hope you are following me. Amen? In Deuteronomy, that's it. We all know. So the Nabi is a what? Is a teacher. Nabi there is or Nabai.
Like that. Nabai. Is actually like Nabi.
Now the Nabi or the Nabai is first a teacher. Did you see that? A teacher. And Moses illustrated, or God illustrated that to Moses. He said, I will make you, Moses, God unto who? Pharaoh. He said, and Aaron will be your Nabi, your prophet. He will hear from you. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
And say it to who? Did you see that? So that's who a prophet is. He hears from God. He takes God's oracle and then he teaches it.
Yes, sir.
Hope you are going to read that.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
He hears from God. God's oracle, God's word, he takes God's word and then he teaches it. That is who a prophet is. And what is the role in all the earth? All of God's sacred place. Now, is this who Israel is supposed to be? Is this who Israel is supposed to be? They are delivered, right? They are delivered. Passover. Come on. We looked at Passover. Passover. So what is their responsibility? In all the earth. So Moses is telling them about their responsibility in all of the earth. He gives them the tabernacle to make them sit there in God's sacred place, right? And they have a duty, right? Right? They are prophets. In fact, prophets and priests. In Exodus 25. Quickly, Exodus 25. Sorry. 19 verse 6. It says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. He's telling them. He said, ye shall be unto me, we're going to get to this shortly, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Do you see that? Priests. And when Peter also read this, he says, you're a chosen generation, a holy priest to the holy nation, that you may declare the praises. This is that declare the praise of him who has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is that. Hallelujah. So the role of a priest is that of teaching. So he's giving them the responsibility in all of the earth. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Then also, in telling them that, he appointed 70 elders. Why the 70 elders? Why 70 elders? Numbers 11 verse 16.
Let's see Numbers 11 verse 16. Hope you are following me now. Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee.
You see that? 70 elders. What? Before you miss it out and say, there's only 70 people that are supposed to be prophets. In
Numbers 11, what rushed down to verses 29,
when they spoke in tongues, some other people spoke in tongues in the camp, who were not part of the 70,
and Joshua ran and told him, and look at what Moses said, and Moses said unto Eliezer, thou for my sake, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. You see that?
Yes, sir.
So God's plan is all his people are prophets. So Moses is reading where? Genesis. You see that? Is that Genesis?
Yes, sir.
Abraham is a prophet. Abraham believed God. He will instruct and he's called a prophet. So he says the same thing for the children of Israel. But yet there were 70 elders. Why 70 elders? Moses had to choose 70 elders because at that time, they had 70 kingdoms in all of the earth. So the 70 elders was to represent their tax in all of the earth. 70 elders for the whole nations of the earth. God's plan is for the whole earth. Before you see it as an Israeli thing. Do you see that? Or an Israel culture. Or an Israel religion. No, it's for the whole earth. So that means, from the beginning, there'll be that disclaimer that it is not a Jewish religion. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. It's for the whole earth. It's for the Jewish religion. Oh, Christianity is a Jewish religion. No! From the Genesis. He's been there. Hallelujah. He's not a Jewish thing. In fact, when Paul also threw up that argument, Paul would say, Abraham, when did you get circumcised? At what point? At what point was Abraham saved? Is it when he was, or at what point was he called? When he was a Jew, or before he became a Jew? Abraham was never a Jew. Never! Amen. Now you see the argument. So put you out the argument too. It's not a Jewish thing. Don't make it a Jewish. Don't say it's a Jewish religion. We have our own Hebrew religion. No. Amen. The way the Jews are serving Yahweh, we are serving Ikenga. We are serving Shango. No. Because God wants to do with that. Shango, Ikenga, they are all idol worship. Oh my God, they are all idol worship. There is one true God. And it's not a particular tribe thing, or a particular language thing, or a particular set laws of the whole world. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Some Jewish people that say those nonsense. Just nonsense. Amen? Just so nonsense. It's nonsense. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, he chose 70 to symbolize the whole earth. The whole earth, God's doctrine on the whole earth. He also had his 12. 12 were for the 12 tribe of Israel, but 70 for the whole earth. Jesus had 70 disciples, also to show the doctrine for the whole earth. Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. So we begin to go back again to always for to the subject of our topic, of the subject matter, tongues. Hallelujah. Tongues. New tongues. I will see that Jesus spoke about new tongues. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter number 16 verse 17, he spoke about new tongues. He said they will speak with new tongues. With new tongues. I've heard people say speaking in tongues is when you go to a place, you just speak their language. No. We're going to deal with that. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. We're going to deal with that in this way. Speaking in tongues is not conversational. Okay, follow me. It's not fun. So someone says speaking in tongues is evangelism. No! Say you go for evangelism. You now have the gift of tongues. Sure, alright. It's not a conversation. Conversation between two people.
Dixon will just tell wisdom, but as so se vrap de he, you know, the bora that dia. It's not for that. What are you doing? we made a joke of those things years back. A brother in not called him church, but we attended in school, even around there in Lagos. One day we're going home, and then my brother just said, "Brah, that 3 days ago, just fucking that, Baba, he don't say brah." Okay, what did you say? Take
this. The bread, so this, how ready?
Baba, how that started here? What did you? You got him got thinking of what you are talking about.
Don't is not conversation.
Yes,
sir. What are you doing with me? Well, we're going to see what I said too. You will see what I said too now. Maybe not in this, no, not in this section. In this section.
It's not conversation.
Amen.
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 Jesus spoke about tongues. And this note, he also spoke about in the supper table, the Passover table, he spoke about the new covenant. New tongues, new covenant. Paul would talk about new creation, new creatures. Do you see that? New. What is new? Does it mean it has never existed? Was it somewhere? What is new there about? We're going to deal with that also.
Some of what we'll look at in this series.
Hallelujah. So you have a bit of a long, a bit of a thing to look at in this series. Amen. Tongues yesterday, today, and forever.
I'm thinking I should call it another name for this introduction. The introduction is 10% on tongues.
But you understand why we have to go through this route. Amen.
When we get to the main thing, we won't spend time.
We just go shake and see it. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
So, I said we'll look at that.
Amen. Amen. So, when Jesus said, "New tongues," it therefore means he's reading from where? The Old Testament books. New tongues. Should be there.
Hallelujah.
But before anybody begins to ask me questions that they didn't speak in tongues in the Old Testament, I will land you slap. Don't ask me that the first time they spoke in tongues in Acts 2. Don't be like my friend that said Eloi lema sabachthani in tongues. That Jesus spoke in tongues. Jesus didn't. Because why? It had to be fulfilled on the Pentecost. Do you see that?
Because tongues is... Okay, we're going to go there. We're going to see.
I remember on Thursday, I actually hit a rock on that. I wanted to use the word, but I guess because I didn't write it down. I'm looking for the best word to use, but today I have it down. So let me know if you jump the gun. Amen.
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 So let's say something. So we said the event that took place in the Pentecost wasn't coincidence. Did you see that? Did you see that? Wasn't coincidence. They didn't just know. It was scripture fulfilled. So we said when you look at Luke 24, 49. Let's get back to Luke 24, 49. Quickly. Yes. 49. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Is that, will you find it in the scriptures? Did you find it in the scriptures?
Yes.
We saw this during convention, right? Send the promise of my Father upon you, right?
Yes, sir.
Did we see that? So the behold there will behold the scriptures, right? See, but tarry. Now we said the tarry too will be tarry in scriptures, yeah? In the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued
with power from on high. Hallelujah. So I said to Ross, it wasn't coincidence.
Right? Jesus instructed them concerning Pentecost. He instructed them. And we said, the Pentecost is a Jewish feast, which they celebrated. They celebrated the Pentecost. In Acts 20 verse 16, we saw this on Thursday, that Paul prepared to go to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Acts 20 verse 16. Acts 20:16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost.
Did you see that? Pentecost. So it was a Jewish feast. You also find it also in 1 Corinthians 16:8, Pentecost, the Jewish feast. 1 Corinthians 16:8. I was said, Jesus spoke to them concerningly, because we saw that he was to fulfill all their feasts, right? Not that the feast was written for him to fulfill, but he had to fulfill it, because the feast pointed to him, his work in redemption. Did you see that? So he had to fulfill that. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. He had to. So we saw from the Passover, right? Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, yeah, so you have to fulfill them. Hallelujah. So Passover, you have to fulfill Passover, right? He died on the Passover day, right? Passover night, he died on Passover. To show deliverance, right? Right? Fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Jubilee. He died on Jubilee. Yeah, on the Jubilee year. To show freedom. Did we say that on Thursday? Mm-hmm. To show freedom. Slaves are free. Did you see why this is vital for him too? And why Moses wrote that? Every slave will be free. If you've taken someone's land, release back the land. Amen. You don't have ransom, wait for 50 years, you'll be ransomed. Automatically. Automatically. If you have committed a crime and you are in Kirikiri, wait 50 years. With life imprisonment, just stay alive 50 years. And the 50th year, you will be free. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, we also saw, he fulfilled John's baptism, right? He fulfilled the baptism, right? We saw in the baptism with John. When he said fulfilling all righteousness there, it implies he would be the new Joshua. Did we see that? So, John goes to Jordan, just like Joshua will be found in Jordan, right? What will Joshua do? He will lead the children of Israel 3 days. Did you see that? Through the Jordan. Watch that now. He will lead the children of Israel how many days through the Jordan? 3 days. He will come out. Hallelujah. Is it the same way? Jesus goes to the Jordan to meet John. And John said, no, you're supposed to baptize me. But Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness, that is to fulfill scriptures, that he is the new Joshua that will take the people into God's promised land called the Spirit. Hope you're following me. Now, not Canaan, but the Spirit. Man will receive the new wine. So he goes to the Jordan. And then the 3 days will signify his death, burial, and resurrection, and men will be delivered. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the Pentecost. The Pentecost. We said, look at the Leviticus chapter 23. We said the Pentecost is a feast of weeks. Jesus also had to fulfill it. Moses was it. Now, the Pentecost, look up here. What I wanted to say on Thursday that I need to say now. The Pentecost wasn't, listen, the Pentecost is a day, right? That is fulfilled, right? But the reality of Pentecost is not a day in the year. Just like the Sabbath. Moses used the day to show them, right? In symbols, right? Right?
Yes.
To show them in symbol, but it will not be a day in the year. No, rather, it will be the day when man will take of the Spirit upon. Hallelujah. For God's tax. Hope you're following me.
Indeed.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Let's
see Leviticus 23 quickly. Verse 15. Hope you're following me now.
Leviticus 23. Verse 15. Let's do this now. He says, and ye shall come from the morrow. Where is the morrow? We're going to see shortly, something shortly now. Wondering why my nose is this. Okay, let's see verses 15 first. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheep of the wheat offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 Sabbaths, which is 7 Sabbaths will be, Sabbath is 177 days, right? 7 Sabbaths will be 7 times by 7, 49. Then the next day, the 50th day, is called the Feast of the Passover. Say, even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days. Can you see that? And ye shall offer, come on, who will offer? Man or God? Man or God? Come on, I'm not hearing you. Your man sound like God. Man or God?
Man.
Did you see that? Did you see that? Man will offer. Follow that. Ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So
the Pentecost is a feast of first fruits.
Who's offering the first fruits? Man or God?
Man. Watch that.
Man.
It's called the feast of the first fruit to the Lord.
Now, the first fruit is in money. So they were to bring things. We're going to see where those things are coming from.
Hallelujah.
We're going to see where it's coming from. It's not money, oh. How many are saying that? We're going to see where the first fruit is coming from that they will offer, right? And how they will offer it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, watch that.
First fruit. So, is that service? They will bring it. Is that service? Is that worship? Come on now, is that worship? Service?
Yes.
Let's see something. So the first fruit, it's called the Feast of the First Fruit. We're going to see something now. It's also called the Feast of the New Beginning. The Feast of the New Beginning.
We're going to see that shortly too.
Numbers 28 quickly. Numbers 28:26. Numbers 28, are you there? Verse 26. It says, and also in the day of the first fruit, the day of the first fruit, is it, watch this, when you shall bring new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out. Do you see that? So, is that the Pentecost? Is that 49 plus 150, right? Okay. Ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall do no civil work. Say, but ye shall offer burnt offering for a sweet smelling savour. Watch this, unto the Lord. Worship. Do you see that? So it's worship. Watch that. They will have worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So something you will see there is worship.
Is worship. I skipped something I have to go back to again.
Now when you look at that 50 days, we say, it will be clear when you read Acts 1:5. Sorry, I skipped that. Acts 1:5. You read Acts 1:5. Look at what Jesus said to them. He says, but don't you really baptize with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days then. So I said that many times,
we might think Jesus, you can say with this verse that, oh, Jesus, they didn't know the day. No. That was actually Jesus being specific.
Hallelujah. It was not probability. He said, you will be baptized not many days from now. Why? Because Pentecost was supposed to be 50 days after Passover, right? Is that not what we saw? So 50 days after Passover, listen to that. Jesus died for 3 days. Right? Right? Died 3 days. 3 minus 50. 47. He taught them 40 days. How many days is remaining? 7 days. So he says not many days hence. Meaning he's telling them, he's being specific. Hallelujah. Like he's giving them a reminder. Don't forget what should happen. Hallelujah. Pentecost. That it will be fulfilled. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So Jesus spoke about it. So something along the line. So now God of Pentecost, first fruit to the Lord. Right? First fruits. Service. Worship. We've read Numbers 28. Let's see Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. From verse 9. Something you have to see. Again. Deuteronomy 16, 9. Are you there? It says, watch this. 7 weeks shall thou number unto thee. Shall thou number unto thee. 7 weeks, right? Begin to number the 7 weeks from such a time as thou begins to put this sickle to the corn. What is sickle to the corn? Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. So you number it. So watch this now. Watch this now. Sabbath. Come on. The Passover ends and begins with the Sabbath. Right? So when do you start work? A day after. So 49 plus a day after is what? 50 days. Hope you're following me. 50, that was why when Jesus died, they had to bring him down fast, because the day immediately is what? Sabbath. So hope you're following me. I want you to follow me now. He said, from that day, you now begin to walk. So when you put sickle to the corn, it's used for planting. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So it's a sign of a new beginning. There's a new beginning. So the feast is a feast of new beginning. A feast of planting. So what does it open up with? What does the 50 days open up with? Planting. Watch that. Planting. Did you see the tarry? The way they tarry is that they begin to plant quickly. And they plant corn. Watch that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a season of planting. That I need you to follow this now closely. Now, read verses 10. It says, and thou shalt keep the feast of week unto the Lord thy God for a tribute and a free will offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according to the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. You see that? So you are coming with what God hath blessed you with. Worship with what God has blessed you with. Blessed you with where? In the Passover. We are going to see what God blessed them with in the Passover. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Amen. So when you say, when you read that, you take of the Spirit within the corn or the promise of the Father, you will see is what God has given you with. So when you say, Lambert or Mizzle, take of what you have available. That was what they did. What the Lord has given them was what they brought. Hallelujah. It's very simple. So when the writers, I was telling someone, not because of this, I was telling someone a time ago, not because of this teacher, I said, the Bible is intelligently written. If you are not intelligent, you are not someone who is scant to read, you won't, it will be hard for you to grasp it. You have to be intelligent and be calm. You know, your intelligence is seen when you are calm, not when you are in a rush. When you are in a rush, you will miss out several things. When you are calm, you see it. Hallelujah. Look at how intelligently Jesus or Luke communicated. Is it that Jesus said, you shall receive power, Lambano, to take of what you have already available. Did you see that? So he used the word, the promise of my Father upon. He used that word upon. It's now you will know that when you don't want upon, you read it from the scriptures how the Spirit came upon them. You see that men actually took of it. Look at Elisha. Elisha called them to play the harp. And when they played the harp, he said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Do you see that? So they knew how to initiate it. They knew how to take it within upon. To take it upon. Hallelujah. To take up of what they call the anointing upon. They knew how to get it done. Hallelujah. They knew. So when there's the promise of my Father upon, you won't be looking at the sky. Because you have to go back and read everywhere. You have to go back and look at that word, the Spirit of upon. How it came. Oh, they had to do something from what God has done. Hallelujah. You see it clearly in scripture. So we are following me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. So let's go for that 8.
Verse 8 now. Where was verse?
10. Okay. Deuteronomy 16. Then, okay, let's look at 11. And thou shalt rejoice. Watch that word there. Thou, in bringing that offering, we say it's worship to God. How will you worship? He said, thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. You see that? Thou and thy son and thy daughters and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite within thy gates and the stranger and the fatherless and the widows that is among you. Does this show unity? Does this show one accord? Thank you. In the place where the Lord our God has chosen to place his name there. Did you see that? Is that one accord? In one place? Did you see that? Amen. This is why they have to all have to go to Jerusalem. Glory to God. Hope you're following that. Okay. Because they believe Jerusalem, the temple, is where God has placed his name upon. Hope you're following that. So they go there. The Samaritans will go on the mountain. Amen. For the true worshippers. Hallelujah. Shall worship God in spirit. So the true worship is in the spirit. It causes the reality of both the temple worship and the mountain worship. So the reality of it is the spirit. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Okay. Let's see a few other things. Within the same, within what we're reading. Look at verse 12. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do this statute. So he reminds them again of the Passover. Did you see that? Of the Passover. Of the Passover. Okay. Let me begin to draw some lines across some things now as we end this section. Let's take note of some key things. Some key things. Passover is, I mean, Pentecost is 50 days away from Passover, right? Now let's say Passover. Passover in Leviticus 23:4. Get back from Israel. It says, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season, right? Now, it says, in the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month, is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. You see that? So, he talks about the Passover. Now, the Passover is when? Put still your hand on that same scripture, because we're coming there. The Passover is when? The first month, 15 days. Right? Right? 15th day of the first month, or 14th day, into the 15th day. Okay. 50 days will be Pentecost, right? Now, not according to your Gregorian calendar. According to the Jewish calendar, right? Which... yeah, around that period they use what is called the unisolar calendar. 50 days is within the third month. It's within the third month. 50 days. So put that somewhere.
It was within the third month.
And you see shortly that the third month is when they received the law. Pentecost. They received the law on the Pentecost month. That is big. But let's see, before we get there, to Pentecost, I mean before we get to the law, let's see something. In Passover, from verses 5, say for this, now look at verse 6, on the 15th day, the same month of, okay, verse 7, the first day, ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall do no severe work therein, right? For ye shall offer an offering made with fire unto the Lord 7 days, and the seventh day is the holy convocation, which ye shall do no severe work therein. He's talking about the Passover. He said, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and said to them, when ye come into the land, is that Passover? Come on.
Yes.
Which I give you, ye and ye reap the harvest thereof. So what do you do when you get into the land? No, now, listen first. Watch this. Passover, Exodus 12, right? Is that Exodus 12?
Yes.
On the doorpost, deliverance. So when it was referenced in Deuteronomy 16, right? It was used for how they came out of Egypt, right? Watch out of Egypt. Passover?
Yes,
come on! Yes, now and again, Passover is also used when they get into the Canaan land. You see that? They passed over. Over following me. Amen? So what is the first thing they will do? They will take off their harvest in the land. The first thing, first activity they will do is to take off their harvest. So that means in the Passover, what they took over, what they took off is God's first fruits. Do you think that? God's harvest. God's first fruits. That's what they had. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 22. Oh, sorry. 23. Verses 10. It says, speak on, say, when you come into the land, ye shall reap the harvest thereof, and ye shall bring sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. Is that? Hallelujah. And then you read down. Glory to God. So the first thing they will take off in the Passover is the harvest of the land. Harvest of the land. Then put that side by side with Romans 8:23. Romans 8:23. Come on. Romans 8:23. Let's see this now. I'll read from verse 22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Stop this. We have the first fruit of the Spirit. You see that? So, I don't want to read them because Paul was actually in context talking about something else. But he referred to the believer as we having the first fruits of the Spirit. Watch that. The first fruit. We have the first fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So therefore, in Passover, what does man receive? God's first fruit. What is God's first fruit? His Spirit. Is that? In Pentecost, man takes up God's first fruit and offers his first fruit to God in worship. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. So, in the Passover, man receives God's first fruit, the Spirit. If they didn't receive the Spirit and waited till Pentecost to receive the Spirit from God, then there's a problem. Hallelujah. They have to receive the Spirit in the Passover. In the resurrection. Now you know when I talk about Passover, I'm not talking about Passover feast. Hope you know that. I'm talking about Passover's what? Resurrection. Hallelujah. When a man gets saved. So when a man gets saved, he receives the Spirit. He doesn't wait to get the Spirit some other day. If he waited one more minute to get the Spirit, it's not called salvation.
Okay, follow me. It's not salvation. Salvation will mean he got the Spirit the day he got saved. That is salvation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now.
Okay.
So, two. I'm telling you some key things to note. Number two.
So, we said, in the Passover, man receives God's Spirit, right? God's first fruit.
Hallelujah.
Now, number two things to note. How many days were they supposed to spend in the wilderness before they get into the land? They were supposed to spend about 40 days, but they spent 40 years. Unbelief, right? So they went through another journey again.
Hallelujah. 40 days in the wilderness to get to the land. And what were they supposed to do within that 40 days when they get into the land?
Before they get into the land?
Stop. Stop. I want to also remind you of something. When they crossed over to Canaan, they received harvest first, right? Then they began to plant.
Was that what happened? Was that what happened? They began to plant, right?
Okay.
So, when they... Now, just get to the wilderness. As though we are all in the wilderness. Let's get to the wilderness. So, they were supposed to stay 40 days. They spent 40 years. So, what were they supposed to be doing within the 40 days? Moses was supposed to be teaching them God's oracles within the 40 days.
Hallelujah.
Okay, well, God, Moses was supposed to teach them God's oracles. Tell them about God.
So,
within that 40 days too, they were supposed to hear was supposed to teach them about God, which is to signify God leading them via His words. So the same thing. Remember we said it's planting, right? Planting, planting, planting. So in the tarrying, come on. So when Jesus said tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, it, you see, the place where God has put His name, right? With Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, they know. When they hear the tarry, they know what it means. It's time for planting. It's time to wait, right? It's time to wait. We're going to see a few things, not just today, other sections, why they have to pray. We even know that. That point when they had to pray was also an instruction.
Hallelujah.
Was an instruction from the scriptures. Hallelujah. They had to pray. Part of the tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let's see what we're looking at. Let's see it again. So the tabernacle will be a time for planting for another harvest, right? Upon which 40 days within that time, Jesus stopped them. This is why Jesus had to teach 40 days. That 40 days was for teaching. On the 50th day was supposed to be Pentecost. And that was when, because of the unbelief and the time they stayed there in the wilderness, was when they then got the law. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Within the Pentecost month, they got the law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what a time for teaching. So Jesus teaching them 40 days was deliberate. Was deliberate. I have to teach them 40 days. But deliberate. According to scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why was this so perfect? It has to be perfect because it's Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Whoever will be absolutely perfect. It's Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
So, let's see Pentecost. So, just a few things. Let's say a few things on Pentecost. Look at Exodus 19.
We've not gotten deep into our teaching. Just, and we'll just be scratching the head of our teaching. Say, in the third month, verses 1, when the children of, in the third month, watch this, when it's third month, Pentecost month, when the children of Israel were going forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came unto the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come into the desert of Sinai, and there, and had pitch in the wilderness, and they Israel camped before the mount. Did you see that? And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now, quickly, so this is actually the Pentecost month, right? Right? And God gave them a law. Now, why did God give them the law? So God wanted to punish them.
No.
What's for worship?
Hallelujah.
We're going to see that that is the import of the law. Look at verses 5 into 6. It's for worship. Worship and service. Some people don't know. God wanted to punish them, give them this old covenant, old testament. No, we're going to see old testament next week. Or next session. Hallelujah. You're going to see that. You're going to want to punish them. That's why I gave them the old testament. No.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. He says, now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, watch this, keep my covenant, he hasn't given them the law. Has he given them the law? But he spoke about covenant. Come on. Come on, follow me. Okay. Give them the covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Hallelujah. So peculiar people means chosen, right? Yes? Look at verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. A kingdom of?
Is that worship?
Yes,
is that service?
Yes,
thank you. Hope you are saying that.
So then, this is God giving Moses instruction for them, and then he tells Moses to gather them
so that he will speak to them himself and give them his ordinance. Did you that? So, was to make them what?
Priests. Well, we come there, Moses on the head, ha,
So Moses began to give them symbols. From that day, he began to give them symbols.
Because they needed to understand everything that has happened.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So the law wasn't do's and don'ts, but as regards God's work, the law, the commandment was as regards God's work, so that they will be found in God's assignment. So that was God's oracle, God's work in the earth, that they will be found in God's assignment and teachers of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's see, verses 16.
So, on that same day, Moses told them that they should camp within 3 days, and on the third day God will come down. So let's see. Verses 17 into 19. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Watch that. The Lord descended upon it in what? In what? Are you seeing this? Fire! Did you see it? God descended upon it in what?
Okay. So now, as you read the event that followed the law on the Pentecost. So this is Pentecost month. So watch out for those signs, because those will be signs that Joel will say would happen on the Lord's, I mean that will happen afterwards in the Lord's day. Look at how, remember I told you, Joel didn't say it will happen on Passover, he said afterwards. Afterwards means afterwards, for he spoke about the Lord's day, right? Right? Come on, in the Lord's day. So, is the Pentecost in the Lord's day? Isn't it Passover? Hopefully I understand what I'm using Pentecost as. I'm not using Pentecost as that day of feast, not Acts 2. Amen? Do you understand that? Afterwards, the whole of the believer's life at Passover is what? God's day. Did you see that? So is the Pentecost going to be found in God's day? Is it going to be found in God's day? Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about. Hope you're following me. If you are Lord, say glory to God.
Amen. Okay. Now let's see. What happened? Now look at verse 19. It says, okay, let's start from verse 18. It says, the Lord came down in fire.
Fire.
And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Right? Hallelujah. Now, it says, and the voice of the trumpet sounded long. Now, watch that. Fire. Okay, namas fire. We'll find fire also in Joel. Find fire also in Acts 2. We'll get to Joel shortly. And the voice of the, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up into the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also come near, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break through. Now, watch this. Verse 18, chapter 20, verse 18. Say, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightning and noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak thou to us, we will hear, let not God speak. Now, what were they saw? Hallelujah. What were they saw? Put that side by side, Moses now speaks about it in Deuteronomy 4. Now, what that experience they had on Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. What that experience they had. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Glory to God. Look at Deuteronomy 4. Verses 11. It says, and they came here and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, the same event, unto the midst of heaven, and darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words. Watch this. Ye heard what? The voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only heard the voice. Right? Okay? Run down to verse 36. It says, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice. Watch that again. That he may instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed his great fire. And thou heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Now, something I showed you earlier on was when the offer of the sacrifice, they offered up in what? With rejoicing, right? Now, that word rejoicing there, I just described that I didn't speak about it. That word rejoicing there, let me quickly rush back. It's not to come up later. It's actually not a gambio. Where did I put that? Shawmak. S-A-W-M-A-K-H. Now, it means it's from that Greek word euphrano. To marry with Mary. You come with Mary.
is the opposite for grief, anger, envy. Amen. Merry. Do you see that? So when you bring those things, you don't have grudge. That's what it means. Now Jesus said that, explained that if you have your brother who has offended you, when you come to offer, I say drop your gift and go back. Did you that? Because you cannot offer to the Lord in grudge. Watch that. Envy, jealousy. I said to say that. Now let's get back to this. In Deuteronomy 4, so when he uses that side, when he uses that word, voice from heaven, is that voice from the supernatural? Right?
Yes.
Who heard? They heard. Voice from heaven, voice from the supernatural. Supernatural voice. Is that utterance? Is that utterance? Glory to God. Is that utterance? We saw fire, right? Exodus, we saw fire. Right? Right? Acts 2, cloven tongues out of fire. Not seen that? Cloven tongues out of fire. But yet darkness.
We saw that. We saw darkness. Read that side by side with Joel. Joel 2, quickly. Let's work on Joel. Verse 20, they say, and it shall come to pass after all, upon my spirit upon my flesh, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon my servants and my messengers. So verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. That is Exodus. Pillars of smoke. That was what they had. Moses, Joel is saying, just like the signs they had. Just like the signs they had in Exodus, when the law was given. You see that? When the law was given. Watch this. It will happen again. It will happen again. That will be the signs. So, where did they find the signs? Act of Apostles chapter 2. Leave that story that the sun is in its dwarfism from vessel to melt and come to other things as fabu. Amen. This is just nonsense talk. Hallelujah. That is trying to explain Bible with science. No! Hallelujah. Amen? And the sun is in Jaijan. No. He was explaining that event. Hallelujah. And that was what they saw. They heard voice from heaven. Hallelujah. Voice from heaven. Acts 2 put it that way. Or Luke put it that way in Acts 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Like a rushing mighty wind, they filled the whole room where they were sitting. Hallelujah. And they divided unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Voice from heaven. Did you see that? That is it. They spoke in tongues. So what Joel is saying, and has happened in Exodus into Deuteronomy, is that it will happen again. Hallelujah. May we hear voices from heaven. Watch that. Hallelujah. Supernatural utterance. Do we hear it? Glory to God. And it will be for worship. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It will be for worship. It will be for worship. In offering. Glory to God. So the Pentecost. We're going to see this as we progress. The Pentecost is new. First fruit. New beginning. Pentecost is the giving of the law. Read that? The giving of the law. The giving of the law. And it will be for worship. For sex. So, what will they do on Pentecost? Not Pentecost. Okay, let's start with Pentecost Day. So, because Pentecost Day has been fulfilled, so it's not a day. Right? Right? It's no longer a day. Though they are still celebrating Pentecost tomorrow. They still celebrated it this year. Pentecost Sunday. Yeah, I know. I know they celebrated Pentecost. The Roman Catholics do it.
and he didn't go to Jerusalem. He was a Pentecost son. Some Protestants do it, and they said they protested against Catholic. I don't know if you protested on some things you don't like, I kept some things you like. Is that not wrong protest? They were Pentecostal Sunday. But I hear they don't speak in tongues. Yeah? Yeah? So, but let's get into this. So, that day, on that day, Acts 2 first, let's deal with Acts 2. On that day, they took of God's what? First fruits, right? The Spirit, they took it upon. Right? Right? Right?
And then they took it upon, and they took it upon in worship.
Did you see that? In worship. That was why in Acts 2, the people around said they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. Did you see that? What do you think that is? Worship. Did you see that? They heard them worship God. Hallelujah. So, why would they worship God?
In new tongues. New tongues.
They worship God in new tongues. Utterance. Hallelujah. So they took up God's Spirit and they took up God's first fruit and offered a first, their first fruit in worship. So what will be their first fruit? Utterance. What we are following in worship.
So therefore, utterance there is tongues. Hallelujah. Therefore, tongues is for worship.
It's for worship. It's for worship. Glory to God. It's for worship. Hallelujah. So receive all the first fruit of the Spirit.
I will offer in worship. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
So, I said in my notes, they brought their first fruit of thanksgiving, worship to the Lord, and it was tongues. New tongues. New tongues. So therefore, I know my notes now. Just like Sabbaths, but Moses used this symbol for, and Passover, they would all be found. And Jubilee, those feasts will be fulfilled in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same with the Pentecost. It was fulfilled in the resurrection. All fulfilled. So, there were days in Moses, but no longer a day or days. Hallelujah. So no longer will you say somebody got born again today. Wait 50 days. No! It has been fulfilled. Did you see that? So why did they wait 50 days in Acts? So that it will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. But immediately after that, what happened? People now took the Spirit upon. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So when a man gets saved, he receives of God's first fruit. Now he can offer up in thanksgiving, in worship to God. They will now see why Paul will employ the words he employed in writing about tongues in Corinth. And why Isaiah will say with stammering lips, he will speak to his people. Hope you're following me. You see that all. Glory to God. Because it's used in worship.
Then something?
Don't worry, in that section, we'll take it from the same place, from the same point, and then we'll see it also in Genesis.
Hallelujah.
We see it in Genesis. The same thing in Genesis. Down again. To Acts 2.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We know why we're speaking tongues. It's for worship. So, can we, this morning,